All right, so today we wanted to show SharePoint 2010 in action. So we're here with our buddy Fitz, Mike Fitzmaurice from Nintex.
Right.
And you used to be a Microsoftie.
Yeah,
correct?
I joined Nintex 2 years ago. Nintex has been around since the early 2000s. But yeah, I spent about 7.5 years working on the SharePoint product team.
Yeah, with SharePoint. And so tell us a little bit about Nintex.
Nintex is a global independent software vendor that makes products for SharePoint. The goal is around helping users get more done. So our flagship product is a workflow facility that sits entirely on top of SharePoint's workflow environment and provides great tools for building workflows quickly for anyone, professional developers and power users alike and anyone in between. Also managing and staging and deploying and updating and analyzing those workflows and keeping them in sync across entire enterprises. So it takes SharePoint's workflow technology, extends it to what enterprises need and what users need. And the fact that it's based on SharePoint means there's no extra IT infrastructure that has to make the guys in the classrooms go crazy.
And when did you start with SharePoint? How long have you been using it?
I started working with SharePoint before it was called SharePoint. There were a couple of pet projects called Tahoe and Polar that were happening in various parts of the office and exchange camps back in the day. And I was part of the Microsoft Consulting Services group that helped early adopter customers go through beta programs. And that's when I was first exposed to it.
And it's changed quite a bit over the years. So tell us a little bit about...
Well, back in the day, if you said, I work on SharePoint, you'd get a, aw, isn't that cute? And someone would pat you on the head and something like that. And frankly, in the 2001 era, SharePoint development was all scripty and ASP, not ASP.NET.
Sure.
So in 2003, major push forward to do everything on managed code. In fact, web parts were invented by the SharePoint team, and that got brought over to the ASP.NET people to make part of the framework, which was absolutely the right thing to have happen. But it started off as a SharePoint-specific thing in 2003. In 2007, more and more stuff happened in the foundation, and the SharePoint people just adopted it and kept going. Lots of stuff became possible in 2007, but the tooling left a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
In 2010, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and the tools that ASP.NET developers have had for years are present and available to be used to build a lot of those kinds of applications on SharePoint. There's a huge payoff to that.
Yeah.
If I've got one-off applications, my app consists of my pages, maybe some components, a dedicated database, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Great for one app. Bad for thousands of apps.
Yeah.
SharePoint is really one ASP.NET application, and based on the URL that you request, it assembles what you want out of metadata and gives you what is effectively a virtual site. That virtual site can be based on lots of templates with lots of components, and so that site might be an enterprise application integration portal. It might be a collaboration presence. It might be a web publishing vehicle of some sort. It could be a dashboard for analyzing business intelligence data. SharePoint serves up sites for lots and lots of things. And the key is when you're building stuff for SharePoint, you're doing one of two things. You're building a collection of metadata, a template basically that delivers a type of site and users instantiate it when they want something, or you build all the components that are going to be used in that template. So web parts, event receivers, Windows Workflow Foundation activity components, pages, so many other kinds of assets. SharePoint sites are assembled on the fly, and as soon as you get your head around that you're building reusable components that solution assemblers put together at the last mile, you get an epiphany and magic stuff happens. Now, that was possible in 2007. In 2010, you've got the tools to actually do the stuff that you've been thinking about for the last 3 years once it became possible.
And for someone who spends a lot of time using SharePoint, how have these changes over the years impacted the way that they work, their workflow, the amount of time that they spend doing things?
Well, Nintex is an ISV. Now, I have in many roles in the past done custom solution development in SharePoint or worked with a lot of people who did. And in fact, Nintex has a global partnership of about 300 companies, and we own one in Australia. So it's not like I'm not up close and personal with how this stuff gets put together to build user solutions. It's changed a lot. Once upon a time, the expectation is you'd write web parts, and that's it. And they get registered in one place and placed on pages. And initially, the team actually thought that would be the center of gravity around SharePoint development. Turned out users wanted to customize everything. You know this. Yeah, I know this. But it takes a while to get everyone to know this. And so coming up with a nice vehicle for creating templates, coming up with a nice vehicle for extending the, or amending or adjusting the behavior of lots of things that happen along the way as SharePoint sites are delivered, coming up with a standard way to plug your own custom service into SharePoint, all these things have evolved over the years. So I'd say in 2010, you've got the facilities to plug in wherever you need to, add what you want, modify most of what you'd want. The product as a whole has gotten a whole lot better, too, which means if I want to write a UI that plugs into SharePoint, I get UI components that I can add things to. The whole ribbon concept.
Yeah.
I mean, well, here, let me give you a quick example. Here is a SharePoint list. And here is the ribbon. Now, anyone who's seen, well, ribbon stuff's showing up all over the place, but debuted in Office 2007 in the desktop apps.
Yeah.
There's now a server-side equivalent to this. It's implemented in DHTML and JavaScript and everything else, so it's not dependent on a runtime. As much as we love Silverlight, as much as the SharePoint team loves Silverlight, it's used very strategically. So there's Silverlight light-up functionality all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not an automatic dependency on it. That the world could play out a little bit differently later on, and but essentially, if you like JavaScript, there's an object model for that.
Yeah.
If you like Silverlight, there's an object model for that. And if you just want to write a custom client of some sort, there's an object model for that, too. That's another big deal. Back in 2007, you were calling SOAP Web Services or WebDAV or a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
And it could get done, but it cost tens of thousands of years and millions of lives and dogs and cats living together. It wasn't a happy thing. It's happy now. So here's how we in Nintex Workflow Land plug in. We had to write a couple of lines in order to get this and this and this. I'm reusing SharePoint assets to deliver this kind of experience right here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to create my own ribbon environment. SharePoint gave me something to use in order to build this. Now, down here, this is our own work, and so on. But actually, these components are Windows Workflow Foundation components that SharePoint understands how to use. And when we go ahead and publish this workflow, we are actually submitting instructions in XML format that SharePoint understands. SharePoint will just in time compile that XML and turn it into a running workflow and run it itself.
Nice.
So what you're seeing here is an aggressive, and this is, you know, if you want to pay very close attention to what's going on here, look at the URL. We're living in the layouts directory. This is what SharePoint calls an application page. It can be registered in one place, and then it's available to all sites, subject to permissions and everything. But this is nothing but one big honking SharePoint application, but its job is to extend SharePoint and put a built-in web-based workflow designer and workflow manager and workflow reporter, et cetera, inside of every copy of SharePoint.
Yeah.
We had to do a lot of this work ourselves in 2007. In 2010, the facilities are there for us to aggressively leverage. So everything above this line is us customizing facilities the SharePoint guys gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything below this line, yes, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Although some of these actions, we started with what was given to us in the box, like the ability to create a list. There's actually an action for that already in the box with the SharePoint platform, but some of the others absolutely are doing. So we couldn't be happier. There are JavaScript calls all over the place. The UI is heavily invested in that kind of approach.
Very nice.
We were doing our own postbacks and everything and own Ajax tricks in a lot of cases. Don't have to anymore. A lot of the time we can call the SharePoint client object model for JavaScript.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
And so tell us a little bit about integration with Visual Studio.
Well, essentially, there were after the fact, or semi-supported templates provided about halfway through the 2007 product mm-hmm. cycle. But those were created by the SharePoint team working in conjunction with some outside consultants and whatnot. What really made sense at the early planning stages of the 2010 product cycle is there had been a group within the Visual Studio team that had done Visual Studio tools for Office. And that focused a lot on the XML file formats and client extensibility and so on. Well, that group wasn't getting disbanded, but they weren't necessarily going to do the exact same thing all over again. There were plenty of other areas of the Office universe to expand upon, and so the idea was, guys, SharePoint, believe it or not, I know you, it's maybe catching you all unawares and stuff,
yeah.
but more and more people are using it for more and more things,
yeah,
more and more parts of Microsoft.
Quite popular.
Yeah, it's the center of the universe, in my opinion. And, and yes, it's a, I come by my bias honestly, but yes, it's the center of the universe to me and to a lot of other people. And there's no denying that if you don't have a SharePoint strategy, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
All right, so it's there. Let's work with it as much as possible. And so the thing about what's been done in Visual Studio 2010 is that real, honest-to-God Visual Studio developers built that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's no compromise. It's right in there. You go, you know, new project, and bam, you've got about at least 10, somewhere between 10 and 20 templates for creating entire sites, for importing declarative workflows like we create and turning them into code, for creating certain kinds of projects like site definitions, feature definitions, event receivers, web parts, either code, entirely code-based server control style web parts, or visual ones where you take a user control and add a thin wrapper around it to make it plug in properly and behave well. So many different things are possible there. But the point is, thing number one, the projects are there, the projects are good. Thing number two is, it's all about the way it's done. Let me show you something else here. So I am here inside of SharePoint Central Administration. Remember how I said SharePoint development often consists of professional developers creating reusable components and then templates that suggest to users how to put those together into individual solutions?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of, at the risk of butchering object-oriented terminology, you should think that your deliverable is a class, not an object, or a type of thing, not an instance. You'll have a happier time that way. A user can absolutely, or a power user, or a declarative developer, if you would, could certainly assemble one solution out of those components that lives in one place and isn't meant for reuse. But let's still think along the lines of professional developers for a minute. What you're supposed to do to deploy something to SharePoint is to create one of these things, a WSP. The legacy was Windows SharePoint Services Solution Package. That's where it comes from. And in 2010, it's SharePoint Foundation. Everything is just basically SharePoint. So ignore the, forget about why it's there. The extension is the extension, but this is a SharePoint Solution Package. And it could consist of, it's a CAB file with XML manifest instructions and deployment instructions, but it could contain feature definitions, web parts, skedillion other things.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, this is a cabinet. It gets uploaded to SharePoint, and then it gets pushed, or deployed, if you would, to different locations. In other words, if you are a responsible SharePoint developer, your job is to give a WSP to IT. IT deploys this into a SharePoint farm. It gets stored in the SharePoint database. When you say deploy it, it gets pushed out to the individual web front end servers, and those pieces of code that are going to get referenced at runtime are there.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that happens is the code should be wrapped in what's called a feature. Now, a WSP is a deployment vehicle. A feature is a logical vehicle for activating code in a particular place. So for example, I have a variety of features available to me here. Content organizer, it's not available to me. I'm not, if I look in my site, I won't see the content analyzer function or organizer functionality.
Yeah.
It's not activated. If I activate it, it's suddenly magical things will appear. I might see extra lists, I might see extra UI, I might see web parts, I might see a bunch of things. I might not see anything, but extra things might be happening
behind
the scenes. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in fact, Nintex, those three WSPs, that's Nintex Workflows method of deployment. We practice In fact, this is one of the reasons I found the company so worth joining, aside from good people that know SharePoint and have done good work for a long time. Everything they build by the book. They embrace the spirit of the APIs, not just the letter of them.
Yeah.
I really had a lot of respect for that. And they haven't changed, which is really good. So here are a couple of features that can be activated. Here's Nintex Workflow 2010 and Nintex Workflow 2010 Enterprise Reporting. They're already there, which is why I was able to do what I did a few moments ago. But hold an e-discovery if you want to turn this into a site that does in-place records management. You can do all that. So deploy solution packages, package them in features, let users or people that are assembling site templates activate them and package them accordingly. Well, I'm going somewhere with this because you were asking me about the Visual Studio thing.
Yeah.
The first part was the building of solutions. The second part's the deployment. And I'm serious as a heart attack on this one. The temptation is to deploy your DLL when you hit F5 directly into where it's supposed to be and just fire up a browser and do what you got to do and just update the DLL and recycle the process when you need to and whatnot. I'm nothing but sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
But SharePoint really shines when you treat the code as a packaged asset that goes into a catalog. What you don't want to have is the debugging experience completely different from the deployment experience, so a developer builds something, thinks everything is fine, didn't take into consideration some...
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's impossible to know what I don't know, so
that's
the thing. Okay, when you hit F5 in one of those SharePoint projects, guess what? You instantly build one of these. You instantly deploy that to a SharePoint site.
Nice.
You instantly, by virtue of having done that, have a feature that suddenly shows up inside of a freshly created site for you, so you can test it exactly the same way IT is going to deploy it, exactly the same way a solution builder is going to use it, exactly the same way a user is going to experience it.
Nice.
Render unto Caesar, render unto God.
Yeah.
It's up to you as to which one's which.
Yeah.
To me, you know, the developer's God.
So of all the changes that have happened in SharePoint over the last few years, what do you think is the most significant one, and what do you think are a couple of the things that you think developers should know?
Wow. Let's see. That's a hard one because I'm not sure if it's been a revolution, but rather a long list of evolutions that, when taken together, sum up to a revolution, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the most significant thing. The developer support for SharePoint has been built by the Visual Studio people.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember nothing else, if you can logically extrapolate a lot of things from that one statement. If the Visual Studio people built it, they've thought about deployment issues.
Sure.
If the Visual Studio people built it, they thought about integration with code management facilities, one or another. I obviously have a favorite. It's made by Microsoft.
Yeah.
But TFS or not, they've thought of these things. They've thought about debugging. They've thought about a lot of things. So this is not a template hack job by somebody, or it's not somebody... Obviously, the way that code's developed at Microsoft by massive teams isn't necessarily the same way code is going to get developed in a solution development shop by a team of single or double digits. The techniques are different. So if you're too close to the way you want to build something, you might not build something that addresses the needs of multiple audiences. The Visual Studio people understand this well because they think about multiple types of developers on a constant basis.
Yeah.
So the SharePoint guys focused on making their APIs better, and they did. That's evolution. But the Visual Studio guys figured out how to tool this thing and do it right. That's revolutionary. What's the other big thing?
What do you think are the big opportunities for developers with SharePoint?
Everything inside SharePoint can be manipulated, my friend. For example, you want to do server-side development? How about we do, let's see, where was it? Under system settings, no, forgive me, occasionally I forget these things. Service applications. You want to plug in back-end behavior or add a new facility to surface inside of SharePoint? Fine. Here's a list of the ones the SharePoint team or teams actually built themselves. You get to add your own.
Nice.
You get to add, plug into this UI so that you can manage them in a consistent, standardized way. so that, and you can delegate who's supposed to be administering these things. So you don't have to deal with storage issues if you don't want to. You certainly shouldn't deal with security issues unless you're desperate, because SharePoint supports Kerberos delegation, pluggable authentication from ASP.NET, claims-based authentication, and so on. You can just use it. God knows we do. We don't need to map a SharePoint identity to a workflow identity because we extend SharePoint. SharePoint tells us who someone is, and we just believe it.
Yeah.
So you want to do server-side development, it's there. You want to extend the client? Well, frankly, if you want to, you can just go ahead and create a couple of web parts. So, for example, here are two we use for a universal inbox. This is every workflow task in existence. And you can, the facility you need to do to provide customization, it's already present. You hit edit web part, and there's where the user is supposed to do some configuration. All you need to do is actually throw some attributes around specific members in a web part class, and that stuff happens for free.
Yeah.
Long list of things here. So you want to change the UI, you want to add user interface components, fine. Actually, one of the coolest things that's happened is a radical evolution from a sort of a niche facility in 2007. There was something called the Business Data Catalog, the BDC, in 2007. Nice facility. The idea was you register some data source, which could be expressed as SQL calls to a relational database or as SOAP calls to a collection of web service methods. But when it was done, it looked like a standard entity, which basically behaved like a table.
Yeah.
Now, the SharePoint guys provided that middleware management facility to deliver portal-style solutions, but they also provided out-of-the-box ways to use that. So a standard set of web parts that would display anything registered in the BDC, the ability to index for search purposes anything registered in the BDC, a long list of other things.
Yeah.
Now, what they've wound up and done in 2010 is made that read-write. They've made it support blobs in addition to tabular data, so you can plug into content management system databases or services. And then finally, what's the other big deal? Oh, possibly the most important thing, more uses in the box of that business connectivity services investment. So you now have what's something called an external list. It's a SharePoint list, or from the point of view of you and me, it might as well be a SharePoint list. But instead of talking directly into SharePoint's data store, it calls through the business connectivity services to go get whatever it needs from wherever it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone ahead and used a declarative method to declare a data source. SharePoint Designer is a good way of dealing with this. And suddenly I get UI and data interactivity for free. In fact, it can be taken offline in SharePoint Workspace or in Outlook or all that. BCS is going to cut down on the need to build a bunch of custom web parts, because a lot of these were just tightly coupled to specific data sources. Guess what? You now have a middleman that you can write to once, and it'll deal with going out and getting the data in both directions. I love that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is really key here is, how about SharePoint Designer? That tool has evolved in a big, big way, and in a coherent way. So a lot of the talk we had in 2007 around SharePoint technology and the developer story around it is, I really want to work in Visual Studio. Why do you make me do stuff in SharePoint Designer? And that's partially because the Visual Studio team at the time had other things they had to focus on. And so the tight attention was in SharePoint Designer, not in Visual Studio, and after-the-fact templates got built. But and the story was even further removed from what people wanted back in 2003. Well, in 2010, there's a clear both of them are web development facilities. One is declarative, one is code-based. Both of them are tightly coupled to SharePoint, optionally or exclusively. But the key here is Visual Studio is the perfect tool for building components for SharePoint solutions and certain kinds of all-code solutions. That declarative tool to put them together to turn them into reusable things for users to use, or to create one-off, tightly coupled solutions to one business problem, that's what SharePoint Designer's for. It's the declarative solution assembly environment as opposed to the solution development environment. There's a clear story here, and I think a professional developer that knows SharePoint will use both tools and not mind it.
Yeah. So you've used 2010 for quite a while now, mm-hmm. A lot of people are just now migrating to it. Mm-hmm. What kinds of tips would you have for someone that's new to it?
Wow. For someone who's totally new to SharePoint or
totally new to 2010, migrating to the new version?
The nice thing about it is the rules didn't change very much. So all the object models you got dependent on, all the everything else you got dependent on, it evolved. It didn't change. And to people that lived through the 03 to 07 upgrade, when everything about content management changed, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Or from the 01 to 03 upgrade, when the whole storage facility changed completely, that's another story too. This time, nothing got ripped out from underneath for a greater good.
Yeah.
This time, everything got built up from the foundation everyone already understood. And nice. Here's something that I think people will really appreciate. If you played by the rules, if you built solution packages that consist of things wrapped in features, the thing you couldn't do in 2007 is update that feature.
Yeah.
You could create a new one with the same name. You could mark the old one as hidden or so on, but you had to leave the other one behind for all the sites that were already dependent on assets part of that feature.
Mm-hmm.
You can upgrade that stuff now.
Nice.
There are feature upgrade rules. In some cases, you just indicate for this, do that now, for this, do that now, and it will update every site that depends on that feature accordingly when you update the solution package. When that fails, you can just call custom code that manipulates the site to morph from one way of doing things to another way of doing things, and it just works. We actually update Nintex Workflow 2010 and the forthcoming Nintex Analytics 2010 product. We generally update those every quarter. When you have fewer than five flagship products, you can effectively update a whole lot more aggressively. When you don't have to be all things to all people, but you have to do a set of things really, really well for an aggressive, highly integrated, highly engaged set of customers, you want to keep them happy. We upgrade every quarter. And it would be a lot harder to upgrade our stuff every quarter if we weren't taking full advantage of feature upgradability.
Sure. Well, thanks for coming and showing us this today.
My absolute pleasure.